done before here in this church, but I'm going to have to do this tonight. I got most of my notes prepared this week, but I didn't get all of them prepared. And so I have notes in two old Bibles. They're falling apart, but I like them because that's my notes. So when we get to chapter 12, we will switch over to the Bibles and we'll be coming straight off the pages of the Bible, okay? And I'm going to get you to help me a little bit with some of the references. Last week, we saw two witnesses ascend to heaven in a cloud, much like the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the world began to experience the power of God moving upon it. God's power is an awful thing. Not a bad awful thing, but an awful thing to behold. He is able to do anything that needs to be done. So that brings us to the beginning of verse 13, Revelation 11, 13. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Now, I use the King James for the preaching up here simply as a matter of standardization. It's not the only proper translation in the world. There are other good translations. And that verse 13, I would like you to see from another version. Let me reread it again. Verse 13, "And the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven." I want to read that for you out of the modern King James. Revelation 11:13, "And in that hour a great earthquake occurred, and the tenth part of the city fell, and 7,000 names of men were slain in the earthquake, and the rest were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven." They read exactly the same meaning. However, there is one small difference, and it is such an important difference. It says the names, 7,000 names were slain. When we think of 7,000 men being slain, that's just a pile. But when we start talking about 7,000 names, that's individuals. And so when we begin to see here in the book of Revelation, we begin to realize that these are individuals who are dying. And they're dying without Jesus Christ. And that means that they are dying lost. Wouldn't it be awful if one of us knew the names of even one of those individuals? Wouldn't that be awful? So folks, we do have a job to do. We need to tell people, everybody, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, people may think that you are a fanatic. I would rather be known as a fanatic and maybe reach some heart that was ready than to walk past people and let them go to hell because of my negligence. I don't know if you can think back in your life. Unfortunately, I can in mine. There is a person, I don't even know their name. There is a person that the Holy Spirit prompted me to go tell about Jesus, and I didn't. I'm ashamed. I was ashamed then. Just briefly, the Holy Spirit just convicted me. She was a homeless woman in Scotland, sitting on a bench in a park, in a main city park. And I walked past her because I was trying to catch up with another missionary who was showing us downtown Scotland, and we were headed for the castle. Downtown Edinburgh, and we were headed for Edinburgh Castle. Folks, don't let there be anybody in your life that way. Tell them. Tell them. 7,000 may not be a big number when you start thinking about the population of the world, but one can be a big number if you know them. If there's somebody that you're responsible for, if God has said, I'm going to put whatever name you want to put, put your name there, I'm going to put them on the earth to tell that person. And you don't tell them. That's awful. So, all of these people, all of these men who were killed in this 13th verse had names. Verse 13 actually begins the Great Tribulation. This is the division between the first half and the second half. This is the division occurs between the second woe and the third woe. It occurs between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet. So that this begins the Great Tribulation. Now there's some other things we need to mention. I told you that the book was not in chronological order. And Michael keeps asking me about that, wanting me to explain it. Michael, I can't do it. Some things are mentioned more than once. That is one of the things that makes the book confusing. Because some things are mentioned at different times more than once. What it is, when God does that, He is simply giving you prophecy of what will happen. And then in another place, He's telling you again the same thing. It's going to happen. And so the opening of the seals and the trumpet judgments actually have many similarities. Some of the opening of the seals, the same things seem to occur that occur during the trumpet judgments. Let me give you an example of that. Revelation 6:12. Look back there, if you will. Revelation 6:12. This is when the Lord Jesus Christ has taken the little book, the scroll, and He's opening the seals. When He gets to the sixth seal, Revelation 6:12, and I beheld when He had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now, does that sound familiar to verse 13 in chapter 11? Yes, it does. And in that hour, a great earthquake occurred, and the tenth part of the city fell. Okay? An earthquake, a great earthquake. And in Revelation 16:18, we hear the same thing again. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as not which was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Now, I remember as a teenager the Alaskan earthquake that lasted for 4 minutes. It reached 9.2 on the Richter scale. Whole city blocks dropped out of sight. Nothing. Absolutely nothing compared to what God's going to do during the tribulation. I've been in a few earthquakes here and there. I was one in a pretty good sized earthquake in Turkey When my wife and I got up to New Jersey, you remember about 10 years ago in New Jersey when they had that earthquake up there? I was getting ready for bed and I was in the bathroom brushing my teeth and the church and apartment began to shake. And Connie said to me, "What are you doing in there?" "I'm causing an earthquake with my toothbrushing." Okay. I says, "Honey, I think we're having an earthquake." And she says, "What do we do?" But earthquakes, you never know where the ground's going to open and people are going to drop into it. And then it may close back up again, as it did in the Old Testament. So, it said when he opened the sixth seal, there was an earthquake. Earthquake is mentioned an awful lot in Revelation. God uses nature to reach out and touch man, to touch people. And you say, "Well, okay, yeah, we all have seen that." Have you ever been really close to a lightning strike? Were you relaxed afterwards? Did you break anything by dropping it or throwing it? We could be looking at the same event repeated over again. Not necessarily, but we could be. And so I believe that we will see the same event from different perspectives as we go through this book of Revelation. It is at the beginning of the third woe that the tribulation is divided. So let's go on, Revelation 11, 15 through 17. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.' And the 24 elders which sat before the God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come.'" There's that dividing again of the scripture, past, present, future. "Because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." At the end of the book of Matthew, as Jesus was leaving this earth to return to heaven, verse 18 of Matthew 28 says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And here is where God is taking up his power. For the present, even today, the power belongs to the devil. Yeah. He is the prince of the power of the air. He's in charge right now. Not in control, but he's in charge right now. And many of the things that are going on are directly a result of his influence. A lot of people are under the influence of the devil. If you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and soul, in your soul, he owns your soul. If he's there, he owns it. But if he is not there, you know who owns it? The devil. All the lost people that you talk to, they belong to the devil. And what you are giving them an opportunity to do is get rid of him as their control. You are trying to get them to give control to the Lord Jesus Christ. Their soul is dead. It's on its way to hell. It will go to hell if they do not receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If they don't believe that he died to pay for their sins, they will go to hell. They not might slip into heaven. That doesn't work that way. Either their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life or it is not. And we will see it again over and over as we go on through Revelation till we get to chapter 20. And we see the great white throne judgment. We need to see some of our loved ones get their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Revelation 11, 15 through 17, we're reading, the kings of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats, that would be the 12 apostles, that would be the 12 tribes of Israel, they fell on their faces and worshiped God. Folks, if Jesus Christ walked into this room tonight, none of us would be sitting in a seat. Not any of us. We are not worthy to look upon him. We're going to be doing face plants, okay? And I'm glad it's carpeted, okay? That should be our response to his presence. We should reverence him. And these 24 elders saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and is to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. So as we have approached the halfway point, and the scriptures have been withheld from the world and from the people of the world. That is going on right now in our country, but it has gone on in other countries for a long time. China, India, Russia. God's word has been withheld. God's word tells us about God's will. And God's will is being presented to all of the world here in the book of Revelation. In other words, God is beginning to communicate a little more clearly with the people on earth. And the 24 elders, they know what to do. And they do it face down in front of the Lord. We see it predicted in Psalm 1, 4 through 6. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The ungodly people are on their way to hell. Psalm 37 predicted this time. It tells us in Psalm 37, 9 through 17, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And folks, that's a promise. That's a prophecy of what's going to take place. Verse 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own hearts. Their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. And he does. That's a promise. Yes, God has taken his great power. The world had better begin to fear their sins because God is about to deal with them. The devil's reign on earth is in its last stages. We see a formula for rightly dividing the word of truth. here at the end of this. Revelation 11, 18 and 19. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, should destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. There are those who respond to God's power and authority with anger and rebellion. Some of the things that are mentioned in these two verses do not take place at the present time in this book, but are scheduled for a later time. The mention of the judgment is more of a prophecy of the things to come. This third woe is going to be bringing the outpouring of the wrath of God. We have never seen, not any of us have ever seen, the wrath of God being poured out, because he has been a God of mercy. He has been a God of grace. But the day is coming when he will begin to pour out his wrath, and that's part of what the book of Revelation is about the wrath of God being poured out. Now, I have had several folks ask about the need for a temple of God in heaven and why it's there. And this is one portion where the temple is symbolic more than physical in existence. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are the temple in heaven. Okay? They are the temple. But there is a figurative temple also. The Word of God has been pretty much corrupted on the earth. And the opening of the temple in heaven may mean that the communications are being opened between God and mankind, that it may be opening more, that communication will be freer between heaven and earth. Now, in the old temple, the ark was kept there in the Holy of Holies. And the ark was the manna that sustained the Israelites, the food. You could consider it the Word of God. That is our manna. That is our food. That is what gives us our strength, this book, the Bible. And so the opening of the temple in heaven may mean that God is opening up communication more freely between he and those upon the earth. There's also the evidence that God is interested in providing for the people by the presence of the manna and the staff that budded. And what else was there? There was one more thing there. You remember what it was? There was the manna, there was the staff that budded, then there was the word. Ten Commandments. That's what was in the ark. And so this is a time of rejoicing for the people in heaven, because God was readily available to his children. Judgment is upon the horizon for those who are angry with God. Everything is about to be redeemed. In the last half of the tribulation, we wind up with redemption. Remember the little book that had the seven seals? That was the terms of redemption. That little book is this little book. Terms of redemption. Everything is about to be redeemed, and Paul talks about it in the book of Romans. Romans 8, 18 through 23. Romans 8, 18 through 23. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together till now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Bodies have not been redeemed yet, but one day they will be. John spoke of a similar thing in his first epistle, 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. There'll be a lot of different things taking place in the tribulation. God is going to speak to the world through nature. So now we come to a part of the book that tells about seven different people. Now, Tim mentioned a few of them this morning, and that's okay. Like I said, it doesn't hurt to repeat truth. Okay. And so we will look at each one individually. Tonight, we have seven personages in chapter 12. It actually goes into chapter 13. We will look at them one at a time. Before we start looking at them, I want to make you aware of one thing. In the book of Revelation, there are four women mentioned. The first woman that was mentioned is Jezebel, and she was teaching in a church. You remember? Jezebel was teaching in a church, and Christ rebuked the church because they permitted it to go on. The second woman mentioned in the Revelation, we're going to look at in just a minute. The third woman we will find in chapter 17, verse 1, and that will be the great harlot. That is a church, folks. That is a church. And can you imagine who the fourth one is? Who's the fourth woman mentioned? The bride of Christ. That's us. That's us. Four women mentioned in the book of Revelation. So let's look at the second one to be mentioned in verse 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, each of the 12 stars is a tribe of Israel. The woman is Israel. It describes what she is. And then look at verse 2 of verse 12, chapter 12. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. The child that Israel was to bring forth is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, she travailed in birth, but her travail is not over yet. She has not seen. Her travail is going to involve a period of 7 years. And we will see that again as we go deeper into the book. Her travail will be during the tribulation. Would somebody turn to Malachi 4, 2 through 6? Like I said, at this point, I'm going to get you to help me a little bit. Whoever gets there, go ahead and read it. Malachi, that's just before you get to Matthew. It's 4, 7 through 6. I'm sorry. 2 through 6. 2 through 6. Okay, Jesus Christ is the child of the woman. Jesus Christ is also one other thing. John 1, 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So Jesus Christ is going to overcome all of the evil in the world. How about somebody turning to Isaiah 66, 7? Isaiah 66, 7.
Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a
man child. All right, you understand what that is saying? It is saying she brought forth a man-child before she had to go through her travail, before she had to go through the tribulation. Israel is going to have to go through the tribulation. They have not done that yet. That is yet to happen. It's coming. All right, let's look at the next personage. Verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Now remember, these things are taking place in heaven. These are visions that John is having in heaven. And it says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. We're talking about now the devil leading astray a third of all the angels. It says his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. The devil was waiting to destroy Jesus Christ. It could not happen. God would not permit it. What had Herod tried to do? He tried to destroy Christ's child. What did he do to do it? He killed all the children in Bethel. So, then, verse 5. We're going to come back and look at these again next Sunday night in even more detail. And she, talking about the woman, brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled to the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and that they should feed her there 1,260 days. We're talking about the last half of the tribulation. Israel will be provided for. City of Petra was a place where part of them went to live and to hide. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and against the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. We are talking here about the war that went on over the body of Moses. It took place in heaven. Remember Daniel. All of this fits together so neatly. It all dovetails like you would build a drawer. Remember that Daniel had a question. Gabriel went to go to him, but for 21 days he was delayed because of this battle with the devil over the body of Moses. And finally, Michael, the archangel, came and helped him, which made it possible for him to go to Daniel and explain to him what this vision was that he had. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's where our demons come from, folks. They're wicked angels. The angels that followed the devil and were cast out of heaven. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come the salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before God day and night. The dispensation of the kingdom begins with the return of Christ to the earth, and it runs through the millennial 1,000 years. That is the dispensation of the kingdom. The kingdom does not exist right now, but it will one day. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Rejoice in heaven, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down to you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The devil is not going to be successful in his mission. Verse 13. We'll come back and pick up more on this next week, okay? And then when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman Israel, which brought forth a man-child. And that explains why the Jews are so hated. It is the influence of the devil upon the men who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. No Christian should ever be opposed to the Jews. Jesus was a Jew. The writers of our scripture, they were Jews. No Christian should be an opponent of the Jews. We ought to love them. They gave us our Savior. They gave us our Bible. Verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time. There we are again. Past, present, future. She is nourished from the face of the serpent of the devil. And this is during the tribulation period, during the 7 years. Verse 15. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood. And that would be a people. That would be a people. It was not a literal water or a flood. It was a flood of people. His people. A flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. We've been reading about earthquakes. We've been hearing about earthquakes. Is it possible that those earthquakes helped eliminate a lot of the people that were after the Jews? Verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And folks, I know it's a little bit early, but I'm going to stop there tonight because I don't want to get into the beast tonight. We'll go back over this next week. Any questions or comments? God had this whole thing planned out. This is not a surprise to him. It's not going to come as a surprise to him. And it need not come as a surprise to us if we will simply read and believe. We're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. Any questions? Any comments? You want to comment some more, Tim? We'll take up verse 12, chapter 12 again next week, along with chapter 13 as we go into that. That's where it really starts to get interesting. The political beast, the religious beast. Okay. Father, we come before you tonight thanking you for salvation, thanking you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask that your will be done in each of our lives, that you will use us to share with others about the second coming of Christ, about the tribulation period, of what to expect here on this earth. Father, may we serve you. May we accomplish your will. And Father, we will praise you and thank you for all that you do in each of our lives, for the provisions you make, for the strength you provide, for the courage you provide, for the love that you give us. Father, may your will be done in each life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.